This morning we're starting a new study, and just to set the background a little bit, we're not actually going to do the verse-by-verse thing until next week, but we're going to be in Philippians, and we saw really how important it is, so really almost 2 months of kind of preparing ourselves for what we face each day, knowing that we are in a intense war, that we're soldiers, that we need to be engaged. We need to realize that that's what it is. And it is a spiritual war. And so we need to be putting on the armor, and hopefully, certainly, personally, I really gained a lot just from going through that study, that each day I need to be aware. You know, why am I encountering what I'm encountering? Because I have an enemy, because he's not sleeping. He's active. He wants to distract. He wants to knock me off the track. He wants, ultimately, his goal is really to destroy souls, to destroy ministries, to destroy the church, to destroy the things of God, because he hates the things of God. And he's always tried to kill and destroy and maim and hurt. And so to be aware of that, and then to know that in Christ we have, he's kind of given us the weapons and the tools and the necessary things to stand, to be victorious, to live, to be successful. And so Paul, it's kind of a continuation, really, the letter to the Philippians is to the church at Philippi, and really it's kind of a thank you letter that Paul writes. But to set the stage and to set the environment, I realize the things that Paul is going to write, really he's going to concentrate on a couple of things, that we have a unity. He's writing to the church at Philippi because, again, within the church, always within the church, it's made up of people who are saved, but we're not perfect people. And you know, there's all kinds of different personalities and different things that go on. And just like we've just learned in Ephesians, you know, the Lord's will is that we would be filled with the Spirit and be continually filled with the Spirit. And it is the evidence of that, that we are singing and rejoicing and making melody in our hearts, that there's an outward evidence and that we're moving and really producing because we're in the Word and we're in the Lord and the Holy Spirit's filled us, that, you know, there's love. That Wednesday nights, we just finished 1 Corinthians into 2 Corinthians, love. You know, Paul spends so much time that, geez, I can have all the gifts of the Spirit. I can be so talented and I can know the Bible by heart. But if I'm not motivated in the atmosphere, you might say that I'm moving in and my life's not love, I can be moving in hate. I can be moving in judgmentalism and in criticism all the time. I can be moving in the law. And Paul says, if that's what's going on, that's not the heart of the Spirit. And life in the Spirit is freedom and joy and love and peace and gentleness and compassion and forgiveness. And we saw last week how that Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he encourages them, listen, there was sin, there was horrible sin in the church. Sexual sin, such as not even the unbelievers were practicing, but the Corinthian church dealt with it. And the one that was involved in that repented. Now Paul's writing and say, as horrible as that is, as horrible as that was, now you as the church have an obligation to love this person, to restore this person, to encourage this person, to bring this person back, you might say, in a sense, into the fold, to hug this person again, because they've truly repented. Don't keep laying a burden on this person and causing this person ultimately to be grieved and maybe to walk away from the Lord and forsake his relationship with the Lord. No, there's been true repentance, and that's the heart of the Lord. The heart of the Lord is always forgiveness and compassion and restoration and healing and renewal. That's got to be our hearts. And so within the church at Philippi, again, because of, it's easy for us to be in the flesh. It's easy for us to, again, react in the flesh. And so Paul encourages them to love one another, to be filled with the Spirit again, to, as Jesus is the creator of all things, that the creation itself, Paul's going to give examples in Philippians and Colossians. The creation itself is held together by Jesus. So the church is held together by Jesus. And there, if we're in Jesus, there should be unity. And there should be unity of purpose. There should be unity of vision. There should be koinonia. You know, that communion and that togetherness and that oneness. We used to, years ago, we used to sing it. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren, what? To fellowship, to be together in the Lord. And so that's a huge thing that Paul is going to write to encourage the Philippians. You know, as Jesus is the example, his life is the example, what better description and illustration of the life of Jesus and the heart of Jesus do we have? Certainly, we have it spattered throughout the scriptures. Certainly, when I think of the Sermon on the Mount, you get a sense of the heart of Jesus. But Philippians 2, how powerful the example of Jesus is that Paul gives us in Philippians chapter 2. This is the mind of Christ. This is the life of Christ. Have that mind. Live that life. Be like Jesus. And how many Christians today claim to be like Jesus, and there's nothing like Jesus in their life? There's nothing like Jesus in their life. Look at how many claim today to be Christians, and their lives are wayward. They hate the innocent. They're killing the innocent. They're walking in sin. They're living in sin, winking at sin. I think of how many pastors. Yeah, I was at a wedding recently, and I'm just being honest. After the pastor was the first one, they had an open bar. He was the first one there. I shouldn't say that. He was quickly there. And I thought he was almost flaunting it. Like, I'm the pastor. Look at how sad. Yeah, you know, how many people he's stumbling. And then again, how he's putting his life, those that watch him, at risk. And I don't know how many, it is a pet peeve of mine, because I don't know how many, you know, 40 years, the tragedies that we have dealt with around just that one substance. And there's more than that. You know, the marijuana. You know, the freedom, the legalization. You know, of these things in our country. It's sad. You know, why would I as a Christian even participate in any of it? Beyond me. But you know what? I'm going to refuse to walk with the Lord. I'm going to, in those areas. And it's just, it's so sad. You know, to see. And so that's what Paul's going to be writing to the Philippians about. It's a powerful little epistle. And then you might say a subcategory that he's going to really deal with is is that the whole subject, and as we move into the fall, and certainly when we come to Christmas, one of my favorite hymns is, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." You know, joy, once again there can be joy. You know, once again we can focus on what really should be a part of our lives. As we sit here this morning, I have to admit that in the world, I'm totally blessed. You know, I have a shirt on and pants on and shoes on, you know, this morning. You know, I drove here in a car. I'll go home today to a nice house. I have, even though at times, and you might even say, oh, geez, you know, I'd like to be doing something else. You know, for the past 15, 20 years, I'd like to just, you know, be doing the radio in the church, you know, full time. I do full time construction plus the other full time, and I, you know, there might be things in our life, but look how blessed we are. Look at what God has provided. You know, if I had surgery a couple months ago, and I was able to go to the doctor, that I had an insurance plan that paid for most of it. I was able to go to a facility where that they were able to put me in this tube and get pictures of what needed to be done. I was able to go to a guy that had expertise that said, you know what, I can go in there and I can surgically repair that. I can fix what's been hurt. How blessed we are to all that. And then I look at my life and I think, really, I should be the most joyful person just because of the situation and the circumstances and how I live and what I have. And I look around and I think, wow, boy, that ain't true. I look at the church. I talk, you know, we talk to each other. I think, wow, you know, what a bummer. Ah, Jesus is going to be so hot today. Oh, geez, we need rain so bad. I say, stay away. I don't need any rain. Get enough rain. We'll get the rain. You know, we'll get the snow. But it's beautiful today. Let's rejoice in that. Let's be excited. You know, I think how often, you know, just, I don't know. I enjoy fellowship. I enjoy Bible study. I enjoy being with people like you guys. How many of us really enjoy? I mean, we avoid it. I'm just being honest. It's the truth. You know, I'm wrapped up in so many things. And there's no joy. There's no... And Paul's going to write, and he's going to say, you know what? Yeah, there should be joy. And I think that looking at Paul, this is the bottom line truth of where Paul was. Paul is in prison when he's writing this. He's in prison. He's in a prison in Rome, the Mamertine prison. It exists today. You can go there. It was a prison of death. I've been in Chino, Federal Correction Penitentiary. I've been in Rockview. I've been in the one in Pittsburgh, right in Western Penitentiary. I've been in the Bradford Penitentiary. I've been in the Warren Jail, not as an inmate. Just trying to clarify that. Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in these places. The worst one that I've been in is Western Penitentiary, and right in Pittsburgh here. It's ancient. And not the nicest thing. You know how the state, they'll paint everything like that mustard green, everything, you know, just a lot of metal, I mean, you look at it, it's like a cat, you know, big stone walls and cold. And They're like five-star hotels from what Paul was experiencing. There were no bathroom facilities. There were no regular meals given to Paul. The reason people were put in this prison basically was to get rid of them. And Paul is in this prison as a prisoner. Why? Because he preached Christ. It's the only reason that he was in there. Now, he wasn't just in the prison. Within the prison, in the central court, there was a hole there was a in the innermost parts of the prison underground. That's where Paul was kept. That's where the worst of the worst were put. And so he saw no sunlight. He had no heat. And we read that he was actually in stock. In other words, he wasn't even free to move around down there and to have a lot of movement down there. He was chained and put in stocks in that innermost dungeon of that prison. As a prisoner what? Not of the Roman government. Not of his enemies, but Paul says that he was a prisoner of Christ. It blows my mind. And here Paul is in prison, in this horrible place, facing certain death from hypothermia, from disease, or from execution, which ultimately occurred in Paul's life. He knows it. He knows he's going to be martyred. He knows he's going to die. He knows he's not going to be set free. He knows as a part of that death he's going to go through this. I mean, why not? To me, I don't want to live in that thing for a month or two. Just take me out and kill me. But no, he's going to suffer in that place for a while first. And yet, when he writes, and we're going to see, not one word. Woe is me. Not one word. Oh my goodness, why is this going on in my life? I'm thinking of you. You're in my heart. Every time I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. I love you. I'm full of joy. What? It's just very convicting. It's very convicting to realize what Paul's experiencing, what he's going through, and then the life that he lives. Think of anything that we think of in our lives, how much of it is us? Well, I have a problem over here. And I have a problem because look at what's been done to me. Look at what I've experienced. Look at, probably 100% of the time. That can very easily be really the total thing that's going on in my life. And yet, Paul, there's none of that. You're on my mind. You're in my heart. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking of you. And I'm filled with love. I'm filled with peace. I have joy unspeakable. And so this morning, as I was just beginning this, because I'm just being honest, there's a lot of days, all of a sudden I'm going through my day, and then there's like this, it's almost like the Lord takes a 2x4 and he has to whack me right, you know, across my forehead. And it's like I'm going through my, all of a sudden I'm going, wow, I can't believe I'm thinking like this. I cannot believe that I'm responding like this. I can't believe what's going on in my heart right now. Why, Lord? And the Lord whacks me, and at that point in time, I try and repent and adjust and begin to redo these things. Because what happens is that, again, it's that whole thing that we talked about in Ephesians. You know, there's this world, and we get so, again, I can see it, and I can touch it, and I'm always, you know, reacting, you know, to it. And I totally leave aside the fact that the most important thing, again, is that this whole spiritual thing that we're in, it's just by me. I'm not even in it. Oh boy, you know, I've got to do a schedule. You know, I've got to schedule different guys and different combinations. I've got to get this job done. I've got to be doing this job. I've scheduled this and I promised them. How can I get to that? I've got to do Wednesday night study. I've got to get Sunday night study. I've got to get Sunday morning study. I've got to see this person. I've got to get this done for the radio station. I've got to talk to Mark. I've got to do this. How do I get all that done? Oh, I've got to do. And I'm just involved in stuff. I'm just involved in a schedule. I'm just involved, again, in the physical things of getting. Guess what? I'm not praying. I'm not saying, Lord, raise up some other laborers. I need more laborers. I need, send along an accountant that has a heart. You know what? I'd be more than happy to take that burden off. Say, you know what? You see what I'm saying? I'm missing the whole thing. In my own energy. In my own strength, I'm trying to accomplish all this stuff. And that's why it's a burden. That's why sometimes it doesn't work out really well. And that's why we can talk about getting burned out and getting, that's why I need so much, you know, I need some time for myself. No, I don't need more time for myself. I need more time with the Lord. Let's go to Romans 14. Lord, help me to have the right focus. Help me to understand the truth of things. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue, in essence, the correct things. See, I have a kingdom. I can establish a kingdom real good. I can have a kingdom in my home. I'm the king and I rule. You can do everything I say and you're going to do it my way and my way's right. And no. Jesus needs to be on the throne. It's his kingdom. I think of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount again. Jesus says, What? Seek ye first. One of the first contemporary Christian worship songs that was ever written. And back then they were all scripture. The majority of them were scripture. Look how far we've come away from that. Quote in our worship songs. But, again, just getting back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things will be added to you. What things is he talking about? We have to go back and get it in context. I'm worried about life. Why am I worried about life? Because I'm running after all these things. Oh my goodness, what am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? What am I going to, in essence, clothe my life with? And what I do is I spend my whole life, it's easy, we all do it, I do it. And I'm not condemning anyone or laying a trip. I just, that's where I am. It's so easy just to be all wrapped up in that. I'm clothing my life with the things of this world. And nothing's ever enough. And I'm not laying a trip on anybody. How many of us today, you know what? I don't need it. God's provided. There's some neat ministries. You know what? I'm supporting Dove FM. Can't do it, can we? A lot of us can't do it. We're stretched so far. We've run after the world so much. We're buried. We're buried. If God would say, support that, you'd say, it's impossible. Look at my budget, look at my credit card bills, look at where I'm at. When's enough enough? What is Jesus saying? What is Paul saying? The kingdom of God, I'm not going to find fulfillment. It's so simple. We don't need to hear these things, but yeah, I do need to hear them. I will not find fulfillment in any of these things. Nothing. The only thing I will find fulfillment in is Jesus, the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of this world, not the things of this world. And there's nothing, it's not material. Do you understand? It's not, Mike and I just had a wonderful time. It's good to go away. It's good to, quote, have vacation. Doing something that we love. Not something that's necessary. It's not necessary at all. But we love to do it. Had a neat time. That's not where true fulfillment is. True satisfaction. True happiness. It's only found in the things of God. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's right. It's being right with Jesus. We become right with Jesus by having placing our faith in Jesus. Being born again. The righteousness of God clothes us. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We're clothed in righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace. We have peace with God, and then once we enter in peace with God, God gives us the peace of God. Peace that even passes. What's going on? I don't understand this. I'm in prison, in chains, and yet Paul had perfect peace. Peace that passes the understanding of my feeble pea-brain brain. I can't make sense of any of it, but I have the peace of God that passes even my intellect. Why? Because I'm in the kingdom of God, and I'm moving in the kingdom of God. I'm in, ultimately, if we don't get there, the presence of God, because the psalmist says that only in the presence of God, in God's presence, is fullness of joy. That's why we're not joyful. That's because we're not in the presence of God the way we need to be in the presence of God. And we can be. That's why I'm not joyful, because what I'm attempting to fill my life with fills my life for sure. But it results just in emptiness. And see, I have a sense that, oh, this is going to do it. The Penguins have won 2 years in a row. Boy, has that changed my life. No, it hasn't. Really, it's meaningless. You know, for those players that actually are, wow, how blessed it would be to have the talent and be involved in something like that. If they don't know Jesus, it's just emptiness. And you know what? In their lives, I think it just probably leads to addictions and bondage. They're just in bondages. You know, they're drunks, they're dope addicts, they're spending all this money. O.J. Simpson was released this morning. Praise God, huh? There's one of the most successful, one of the most talented athletes ever. And he's a murderer and a criminal and a crook and just a degenerate. He's a sociopath. How sad. You would think that he'd have everything. He has nothing. And man, unless he's dramatically converted in the next few years, he'll go to hell for all eternity. Isn't that sad? Those that would lose their lives will find it. Am I willing to lose my life for Jesus? I have all this going on in my life. I just want to serve Jesus. How can I serve Jesus where, Lord, you have me right now? That's a large part of what we're talking about. Only in that will I experience joy. And Paul proves it with his life. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. I was going to go there. We'll just, again, we did it. We did it a few months ago when we went through Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love. What?
Joy.
Joy! Am I filled with the Spirit? Am I in the presence of the Lord? Man, you can't help but be producing, you might say. Am I abiding? John 15, that's where success is found. That's what we're going to see in Paul. You see, you wonder, how can he write these things? This blows my mind. How can he writes them because he, like Jesus, what? It was Jesus stomped his feet, had a fit, slammed the door, put his fist through the drywall because his Father's will was that he was to go to the cross. And then finally, okay, if I guess I'll do it. No, what does the Bible say that Jesus, it was a joy. It was a joy to fulfill His Father's will. It wasn't easy. It wasn't something, oh boy, this is great. I'm going to be beat beyond recognition, tortured beyond anything I could even think of, and then nailed to a cross and hang on the cross and die a horrible death. Oh, yippee! No, there wasn't anything, but it was a joy. Why? Because He was doing His Father's will, accomplishing His purpose, the kingdom of God. We'll just look at a couple more. I think we've already kind of hit. John 17, go there. John 17, right? I've heard different ones that, you know, we, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer. No, it's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' prayer. These chapters are the Lord's Prayer. He prays for the disciples. He prays for the church. But look at John chapter 17, verse 13. Now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may say my joy, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And he goes on, he talks about what he's given them. He's given them his word. He's given them all that they need. And again, just kind of putting it in the envelope, he's saying, in me, in intimacy with me. And again, we're just a bit beyond John 15 there. That's where you are. And it's not something that I produce. I can't produce it. I'm going to be happy today. And then that happens. Wow! I hit the wrong nail. I'm really happy. Now, see, I can be unhappy real quick. Happiness isn't joy. It's much deeper than that. And it's a thing of the heart. It's a thing of the spirit. And I'm just, you know, let's be honest this morning. You know, could I say this morning, you know what? There's a deep-seated joy in my heart. In fact, I find myself, and that's what Paul defines when he went through Ephesians there, Ephesians 5. I just love those verses, 18 and following. You know, Lord, continually. Why does he say continually? Because he knows we need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We know that there is fruit in and of the Spirit. And I can't produce it. I can't manufacture it. I can't love that person that hates me. I can't love that person that's talking about me. I can't love that person that's trying to destroy me. I can't love that boss, that supervisor, that family member, that aunt, that uncle, that whatever, that neighbor, that person I thought was my friend, and now they're maligning me and speaking against me and trying to destroy my character and gossiping, and I can't. But yes, you can. But Jesus can in you, and he can give us, you see, understanding. He can show us that's where we were, how lost we were. No wonder we were fighting and trying to destroy everybody around us. We're just doing what Satan does. He was our God. He was our leader. He was the one that we were following. That's what they're doing now. Jesus looked upon the multitudes and had compassion. Lord, that I would have compassion. That I would understand. They do it. They live it. That's who they are. I understand. They're not. They're in darkness. They're deceived. They're lost. Lord, please help me to understand that. Please put me in that place. Please help me to feel and understand where they're at. Jesus had compassion on them, and then he saw beyond that individual need. And he was always about ministering to that individual need. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Is it my strength this morning? A lot of what Paul says in Philippians, he's going to correct our thinking. He's going to say, I must learn to think this way. We sang it this morning. I just, that little chorus, you know, Jesus is truth. He has spoken truth. He's given us truth. I just need to stay in that truth. I need not believe a lie. I need not walk in a lie. There's so often I can't rejoice in the situation. I can't rejoice in the circumstance. But we're never commanded to do that. We are commanded to rejoice what? In the Lord. And simply when I begin to speak the truth and do the truth, wow, how it transforms my life. How it sets the priorities of my life aright. And what a beautiful thing occurs. It's almost like I become available and usable in the kingdom of God. Where that, geez, nobody ever talked to me. Not that I'd want to talk to a lot of people at Walmart. No. Yes, I do. They need Jesus. You understand? And so, wow, why did that person just start up a conversation? Because I'm usable. I'm in a place. I'm moving in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is all about salvation. It's all about redemption. It's all about restoration. It's all about forgiveness. It's all about healing. It's all about the gospel. Wow. That's where fulfillment is. That's where joy is. Lord, help us, right? As we go through this little epistle, unity of purpose, unity, he's going to talk about unity of mind, that only comes by, he invites us to actually put on, wow, the mind of Christ, that we have the mind of Christ. And then a huge, like if we were outlining, big number one and then A would be joy and rejoicing in the Lord. Lord, not that I be happy, Lord, that I be joyful, that I be moving in your presence. Because in your presence, again, you know what? I can think of different examples. Paul's an example. There are modern day examples of this. People in the most horrible situations, filled with joy unspeakable. I've seen both. I've seen people, they experience a tragedy in life and they go into an isolation. And when I was a number of years ago, my best friend, his dad went to the doctor and said, "You got cancer." He walked into the doctor's office. He wasn't feeling good. He walked to the doctor. He came home, went to bed, never got out of bed. His life was over. He died in like a month. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. I couldn't believe it. Then, in our own fellowship, one of the brothers told the same thing about the same time. Rejoice in the Lord, trust in the Lord. Continue to serve the Lord. Lived many, a number of years. One of my best friends that played in the 1970 Cotton Bowl in Texas, was a linebacker for Penn State. He had contracted
when he was in his early 20s, Lou Gehrig's disease. Dan Beckwith, we became such good friends. We would see him once a week. I did a Bible study in Sheffield in his home for years. Rejoicing in the Lord, loving the Lord, just the suffering and the headaches and the pain that he was in. He rejoiced in the Lord. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He lived in victory. He was a joy to be around. The Lord gave him so many opportunities to go back, and at that time, Paterno, and they would go back. He would go back yearly. They would have him come. He would share Jesus with all those players year after year after year after year. The Lord gave him so many opportunities to share the Lord. He died when he was 33 of Lou Gehrig's disease down at the Rouse home. And the last joke, he was a jokester, and we always had so much fun. The last joke he played on me, he died, and his funeral was the first day of opening buck season. He loved to hunt, and we'd always... And so I remember doing his funeral, and there, seeing in Sheffield these trucks going by with these big bucks, and I can't even hunt today. Dan, come on. The pain you're putting me through. Making me do your funeral on opening day of deer season. You got the last laugh. And what a difference. No matter what the Lord throws, what in his presence is fullness of joy. We sang it, he's a good, good father. Do we believe it this morning? He's a good, good father. No, he's a bad old man. No, he's a good, good father. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to keep these things right. Lord, this morning, if we're not overflowing with joy, there isn't a joy in our heart. Lord, help us, Lord, to, first of all, just repent. Lord, we need to do that. And Lord, help us to seek your kingdom first. Lord, help us, Lord, as we leave here today, to make it a point that we're going to be in your presence. Lord, I know that as we make that decision, we're going to experience love and joy. Lord, use us this week. And Lord, transform all of our lives. Lord, there's none of us here saying we don't need you more. And so transform our lives as we go through this book of Philippians. Show us things that we need to see. Lord, that we would walk with you and enjoy you. Lord, be available to be used by you in Jesus' name.